All right, here we are. Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. And I'm Hot Sauce. And that's it. Because this episode, we didn't record as a cast. And I mentioned to the guys, hey, you mind if I zooby it up and do a one-man cast, possibly as a filler? Because we've been missing a shit ton of episodes lately. And it's no fault, but, you know, my knives and crows, you know, all together. It's not one person. But it's got to end. So, trying to work around that by maybe being a little experimental and having you guys complain that one-man cast sucks and that I should never do this again. But, yeah, we're trying it out. See what happens. But I got a bunch of shit that I got, you know, show notes for the cast for me to talk about. All kinds of video game stuff and magic news shit and a little segment at the end, whatever else. So let me just start everything off by saying my week or whatever, my last couple weeks. And that's really been nothing, actually. Really hasn't been a damn thing. My fucking cat passed away on the 16th of February, which is a total bummer. I've talked about it before that this cat is like my jam. Like I'd trade my dogs in. I'd kill both my dogs to save the cat. You know what I mean? I would just like absolutely get them out of here. Even though I like the dogs a whole bunch. They're great dogs. Love them. But this cat, for some reason, is the jam. And I wasn't even an animal person until I met my current girlfriend. And this cat is like a pain in the ass and doesn't like people. She doesn't like kids, she doesn't like adults, she doesn't like other animals, she's just like a total bitch. But for some reason, she liked me after, you know, a little bit of time, a little bit of, you know. But anyways, yeah, it's a total bummer, totally sucks. Had to put her down, you know, she was just like too many things wrong with her. There was just like the asthma, the fucking arthritis, she was diabetic, like I'm not even making this shit up, it was crazy. So fucking animal just couldn't take it any longer, and so we had to put her down. Total bummer. I'm not a big fan. So that's what happened. Besides that, Chargers left San Diego to be the LA Chargers, which is fucking ridiculous. But I've been a season ticket holder for a few years now, and so it's a bummer that I won't be able to go to the games in San Diego anymore. And as a little we're sorry thing, the Padres, San Diego Padres, and San Diego Gulls, the hockey team, they have sent out a couple things saying like, hey, here's a free ticket, you know, or whatever, free ticket and t-shirt, come check us out, you know, we want your money. And the Padres did this, and they gave us, me and my mom and my girlfriend, a free ticket to Padre games. So I'm like, all right, cool. And they also gave us like an invitation saying like, hey, Will, why don't you guys come out? Come to the stadium while nothing's going on, and we'll have like a private sort of like tour and conversation trying to sell me some shit, you know, trying to like get me to buy season tickets or whatever with them. So, girlfriend wasn't available. Me and my mom went down there this week on Friday, the whatever, 17th. Like it matters, like I'm telling you the date. We went down there though, and we wanted to, you know, talk to them about what's going on, and they gave us a little tour and talked to us about pricing and what it all means and what, you know, there's a bunch of extra shit, yada, yada, yada. But the fucking cool thing they did is they said, hey, you guys want to check out the Lexus home plate seating area, which is like the all fancy, fancy, you know, only 50 people are even allowed to do it kind of seating area. And I'm more like, yeah, I want to go get a tour of like some weird underground shit that I'm never going to see, besides maybe just some pictures on their website or something like that. So this place is Lexus home plate, you know, seating, like I said, and it is $30,000 for one seat for the season. $30,000 per seat. Sold out, have been sold out, they said, the past 7 years, and there's been this season they had four openings and they got picked up in 2 hours of being released. I was like, okay. I kind of can believe it for some reason. When people got money, you know, anything's fucking possible. All these stupid things people buy, $30,000 for, you know, a few months of entertainment, I'm sure is like nothing to them. So you get like private valet. You have like your own gate, your own doors you walk through, you know, take your coat type of shit. You have your own certain, like, really nice done-up, you know, wood paneling hallways that walk down the otherwise concrete facility, the Petco Park Stadium. And it goes, it leads into, like, a lounge that has a bar. And then it goes past that, and it goes into, like, a buffet area. But they can cut, they can cook you up, like, custom meals. And they have, like, a crepe bar with, like, and desserts and shit like that. So they have, like, ice cream and candy and whatever. Then you go past that area, and then there's another bar, and at that bar they have, you know, bigger TVs or whatever. They have at one of the seating areas they have these windows that are on one side of the all the tables and everything, and outside the windows is the place where the pitchers practice before the game. So it's like a private tunnel where they have their cage and everything set up, and they pitch fucking baseballs as warm-up and all that shit while you're just sitting there eating your meal, drinking your beers. Now, when I'm saying all this, everything is included in the price. So you get all alcohol starting 2 hours before the game starts to an hour after the game ends, all for free. Like, what? I mean, not for free because you're paying out your ass, but all the meals, all the drinks, alcohol included, everything is like that. They got a gift shop that's down there. It's like a private gift shop where they have, like, Tiffany, you know, jewelry that's like Padre themed, or maybe not even. They just have like, it's like a fancy fucking mall place. You know what I mean? Tiffany's, Mac, goddamn jeans that cost you $600. Like, shit like that is all present in this Lexus home plate facility. And then you go out to the seats and it's all behind home plate, obviously. And they're like swivel seats, and they have like charging stations for your cell phone, and you can order drinks and food, and they walk up to you and all that shit. Like, it's the total package. And, I don't know why they're even showing me. I was blown away. But for that kind of money, I expect, something just like that. So, I thought that was pretty interesting, though. So, besides that, I mean, that's like really, that's all that's been happening. So, I watched Rick and Morty seasons 1 and 2 in its entirety. Let me tell you, Rick and Morty is the fucking best. I'm sure you guys, some of you guys have seen this already. You gotta see it. If you like The Family Guy, if you like any other cartoon show, but this is better because it is smarter. It's got some depth to it. It has like the long con going. There are mysteries abound. There is, untold stories, things that will go on in seasons and seasons, not just the Simpsons, Futurama, Family Guy mix-up where episode by episode is its own unique story. They have that, but there's also, like, where does Rick come from? You know, there's all kinds of videos on YouTube that talk about the 10 theories that you can see little breadcrumbs through each episode and little Easter eggs that go talk about, you know, what everything means and where they're at, and is this, what universe are they in? Because it's kind of a multiverse thing. You know, it's super deep and it's amazing. The comedy's good. It's something that I did not expect, because Adult Swim is a pain in the ass to watch. And when the show came out, I'm going like, there's no way that this is going to mean anything. And it's Adult Swim. And I mean, the best thing that they even, Adult Swim can do is freaking Aqua Teen Hunger Force and shit like that. You know what I mean? Or maybe like, God, what's the metal one? It's like, I don't even know. I don't even know what that one's called. Death Clock, right? Something like that? Or is that just the band? I don't know. Who cares? But Rick and Morty is awesome. So I watched that. Season 3, we don't know when that's coming out. I heard that it was coming out in January, but January has passed. So that's definitely not happening. But, ooh, baby! It's fucking delicious. Delicious show. Moving on. Other podcast stuff. So we know that, like, the A-Team is gone, and now there is First Strike, and then there is Heavy Meta is gone, and now they are Hype Club. So give them a listen. Not too bad. I've listened to Hype Club a little bit. It's about as dry as I am doing a one-man cast, but it's still pretty damn good. Another thing that I've been listening to, I found this week, is called Cool Inc. or Cool Games Inc. It is a cast from Polygon, which is one of those gaming review websites. They, if you go to like Metacritic or something like that, and you look at a review for a game, you'll see there will be, you know, Game Informer and whatever else, and IGN, and then there will be Polygon. And Cool Games Inc. is two guys doing a podcast about games, and they're shooting the shit. And luckily, like, I had these qualifications for what new podcast I would listen to, and it has to be decently witty, so it can't be like too dry. And it has to have, it has to have some cussing in it, you know, have some, they got it, they want to say what they really want to say, you know, and that natural vibe. And I feel a lot of shows that don't let loose and let the profanity out kind of hold back a little bit, you know, and it makes it a little less enjoyable. So I know there's ways to get, there's shows that don't do that, but I think that is a good thing to follow, is that if they don't cuss, then they ain't telling it with soul, you know what I mean? So give them a listen. I listened to episodes 42 and 43, and it's fucking gold. Absolute gold. I love listening to these guys, and I've only been listening for 2 days. So, yeah, check them out. Cool Games Inc. on whatever. They are super, you probably already heard of them. They're like very highly rated, 5-star review on iTunes, all this crap. So, also, man, I'm drinking a beer right now because no one else is around and I'm alone at my place. So I'm drinking a Ballast Point Barmy golden ale with apricot and honey, 12% Ballast Point. It is mighty scrumptious, and I'm going to be taking little breaks, and you're going to hear me pause, and I'm not going to edit it out because I don't give a fuck, and I'm going to be drinking my beer. Like, this pause coming up right now, delicious. 12%. Out of like a regular bottled six pack, you know, pretty crazy. You'd think that that would only be sold in a 22-ounce big ass beer for way too much money. But this one's not bad. It's like $16 for a six pack, which sounds terrible. But remember, it's 12%, and so you're gonna be drinking like two of these bitches, and you're done for the night. You drink two of these things, and that is a bottle of wine. Is two of these exactly? Like, here we go. General fluid ounce standards, alcohol nonsense. Wine is generalized as 5 fluid ounces at 12% alcohol. And beer is generalized as 12 fluid ounces at 5% alcohol. So both of those, you add them like 5 times 12, 12 times 5, you know, it's all the same number. And this is 12 times 12. 12 ounces, 12%. So, yeah, you're getting double, essentially. And then that's, yeah, so you're getting that. You're getting basically two glasses of wine out of this one beer. And so you have two beers and it's a whole bottle of wine. Pretty gnarly stuff. And I, you know, I don't drink it necessarily just because of the booze, but it's pretty nice. Ballast Point makes some good shit. Stone makes some good shit. Man, San Diego, it's a good place to live if you like drinking beer. All right, so moving on past the hubbub of what I've been doing, let's talk about some video game stuff. So if you haven't been paying attention to games coming out, maybe it's just the dry season, you're kind of expecting more of the September, October, November time frame. That's maybe the only time you even pay attention. But I'll just mention a few games that you may not remember are even coming out. So we have Zero Dawn, Horizon Zero Dawn. It is a game that's only on the PlayStation 4. It comes out on the 28th of February. Beautiful looking game. It's like, oh, how do you like that? Oh my god. It's like some wildling bitch. Some fucking wildling from Game of Thrones looking chick. And she is a badass, obviously, protagonist. She's been split up from her tribe. It's like these old, long, long time ago days. You know, everything's very, you know, no technology, nothing like that. And then somehow, fucking robots come out. Technology comes in, we don't know where, and they destroy all civilizations, and robots fucking win at the end, you know what I mean? Except there are a few stray groups and tribes and whatever that have been surviving in the meantime. She's one of these people. The story, it seems, is that she wasn't around when they came. She was probably just like born into this And so she's, you know, she knows how to fight and all this stuff. But I think she's trying to, the story is trying to uncover how this all happened while she's trying to survive. So that's what it seems like to me. But it's pretty badass looking. Pretty badass looking. Kind of like a Far Cry type vibe, something like that. Looks pretty good. I don't have a PlayStation 4, but when more and more games come out, it gives me a reason to spend some money and actually buy the new console, you know, a different console, even though it's been out for a while. But something like Uncharted 4 or God of War or those exclusives, you know, once enough come out, I go, ah, damn, I need to get one of these. And then I'll pick that shit up, only play the exclusives, and everything else will basically be on PC and Xbox One. PC if I can help it, but seems pretty good. Besides that, there is Walking Dead, the Telltale, you know, it's like a story that's like interactive, but not, you know, you are basically just watching a fucking movie, but you get to like click buttons every once in a while. They're pretty good. They're not as kid cartoony as I thought they would be. I've played the first season, and I'm in the middle of the second season. I think this is basically the third season. It's called A New Frontier. Oh, Frontier. And I don't know anything about it, but it comes out on the 28th as well, February. I'm sure when I get done with season 2, I'll pick this thing up. Hopefully it's cheap. I'm sure it's on everything. It's on PC. It's on damn mobile games and iPads and all that crap too, I'm pretty sure. So if you're into the Walking Dead stuff, you're into the Telltale franchises, this is the next one. Ta-da! Besides that, we got Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Shout out to Knife City and Stone Crow. I'm sure he likes it too. But Legend of Zelda is definitely Knife's fucking jam. And I've played a couple of them. I'd say 3 games total, not to completion. I think only two of them to completion, I think. But they're fun. They got a big following. I don't have to talk much about this, okay? It's coming out alongside the Nintendo Switch on the 3rd of March. If you're not paying attention to the dates, that's the date. And it's also going to be out on the Wii U, but who the fuck has one of those? Unless you got kids. Unless you got kids and you're listening, you probably have the Wii U. Because I'm sure kids love that shit. And I bet you do too for the 2 games that matter. And the rest of it, nobody gives a shit. So there's that. Ghost Recon Wildlands comes out in March as well. I haven't played Ghost Recon in a long time, but I know that Ghost Recon Siege was like a really big hit. Anyone, you know, that's played it probably is really stoked to see Wildlands come out. I'm not going to be getting it unless the reviews are totally fantastic or I've got nothing else to play. But I just haven't, I don't know, I haven't even thought about Ghost Recon in like ever, so I'm not really too interested. But it's coming out. What I am interested in, though, and this is a shout-out to Reich. Ooh, Reich, come back to the cast. March 21st, Mass Effect Andromeda comes out. Mass Effect, you know, they had 1, 2, and 3. 1 was kind of a draggy pain in the ass, but still good. 2 came out, and it's like, oh, you fixed everything, and just so good. 3 felt better than 2, as far as, you know, this is one man's opinion, you guys can fucking bitch, I don't care. I really liked 3, but of course that ending was pretty sour for something that you've spent, you know, 90 hours playing, or whatever it is. Kind of a bummer, but I really liked that first 3 quarters of the game. It felt really good, and the action felt a little better, and I remember it better, too. I don't know, I mean, I know it's more recent, but not much more recent. I played 2 pretty much before 3, and I don't know, it grabs me a lot. So this one, you're not playing as Shepard, you're playing as the Pathfinder. I don't really know what that means. He's just some younger, like, jarhead motherfucker, and you're going to the Andromeda system, and you're looking for a new home for, you know, your people. Pretty much standard story for all sci-fi, right? I mean, have you fucking watched Battlestar Galactica? It's like, you get in a ship, you look for something, really bad things are going on at home, you're going on an adventure, trying to find what's the next thing. I mean, what's Star Trek? You know, what's any of this crap? So, but that's coming out, and that's going to be badass, I'm sure. It's been enough damn time. We've waited for this thing to come out, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, so pretty excited about all of those. I haven't really been playing much games right, you know, like lately. I've been like a loser just on YouTube, and I've been reading a little bit. I don't know. I don't even know. I've been watching TV. That's not a good sign. Why am I watching TV? TV sucks. So. All right, so what about some magic bullshit, I guess? You know, what about some magic bullshit? We have... You know what? Nope. I'm going to have a drink first. Too bad. So, Magic Digital Next. Magic Duels 1.1. They had... Hasbro had some, like, toy game conference... I don't even know what it is. You know, it's like the Comic-Con for Hasbro. I have no idea. Convention BS. And they had one screenshot of what it's probably not even going to look like for Magic Digital Next. MDN, for all the cool kids out there. And it just looks like Magic Duels in every way. It just looks like it's updated. You know, there's like, oh, there's like a, there's the mana cost hovering above the card, so it's easier to read. Like, fantastic. But otherwise, it didn't say anything. They did say, like, some words. They said in, like, some kind of announcement or whatever, they said that Wizards is going to be promising upgrading to state-of-the-art back-end technology, giggity, and systems to sustain and constantly improve digital and tabletop experiences. We're going to be improving and expanding the way you play the Magic trading card game digitally, and dreams of developing deep gameplay experiences in Magic worlds and fiction on diverse gaming platforms and genres. So, take that as what you will. It's not really anything. It's just the hoopla that the business people say to get you one little tiny little scrotum tickle of excitement. And that's pretty much it. So yeah, there's that. No big deal. Don't even, like, look for it. It really doesn't matter. Just wait until middle of the year. I mean, it seems like they want to be making money off this at the end of the year. Like, the bean counters have been saying, like, this is going to be making us a profit at the fourth quarter of 2017. So it seems like, you know, it's, we're going to have it at the end of the year, or maybe... What else? Oh, you know what they also said? That Wizards is going to be one of the people at E3. And that's not normal. So if Wizards is actually getting their freaking pennies together and all the blood money from, you know, us the players together and spending it at E3 to get a booth, and they're probably going to have some announcements. That's actually something kind of important. And it does push for something to be coming out relatively soon after E3. And I think E3 is in June. Could totally be wrong. I'm not really sure. But, yeah. So we had another thing. A few months ago, they had this, like, survey that Wizards put out to, I don't know who, but they put this survey out saying, or showing new packaging for future sets. And I think they're showing, like, if, you know, survey stuff. You know, if people like the art, if people like where the letters are, or whatever... they like the curvy waistline, female waistline look of the packages that hang up in Walmart and all that shit. I don't know, something like that. And they had Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation on there, and then they had some two other sets that have not been announced, which is Atlazan and Conquest of Power, Conquest for Power, something like that. Conquest of Power, I believe. And so people are like, oh, we got it. It's the new sets. Like, it's printed right there. And Wizards said, like, yeah, this is our stuff. These are our images. But they're just, like, packaging design concepts. They're not actually, like, the actual packaging. We don't know. But the design concepts for Amonkhet got shown at this Hasbro event with the same art on them, which kind of says, like, hey, there's going to be the same, you know... legendary creatures or planeswalkers in Hour of Devastation. These are the correct images, which means, you know, possibly that Atlazan and Conquest of Power have correct packaging, correct names, and the people that are on there, which looks like Veraska and some merfolk bitch and whoever else, that is going to be correct. Seems like it. It seems like a... you know, they let the cat out of the bag. So that's exciting, I guess. I mean, knowing the new set name, it'd be cool, man, to have, like, Atlazan be, like, you know, Atlantis, underwater, merfolk, a lot of sea creatures, pretty cool. You know, Blue gets some really strong stuff going, or at least Simic in general gets some really strong stuff going. That'd be pretty cool. I would enjoy that. And Conquest of Power, I don't know what that look. I don't know what that means. I'm looking at the art. I'm looking at like the style of the text. I don't even know what direction that thing's going. But whatever, we'll find out. I'm sure they'll have some conference at the end of the year and spoil all of 2018 for us, like they did last year. So, all right, moving past that. Final thing we're talking about. I'm not trying to do some 4-hour episode here, guys, because I don't know, you know, how to do that. So, I have this little segment I want to do that is weird ass magic cards, and I've had it in, you know, in my wallet, ready for a cast, whenever. But I have not pulled up the cards that we needed to see. Oh, you know what? And actually, before that, woohoo! I don't know if we talked about it before, and if we have, well then fuck me. But there were promos that were announced before last cast. I'm just not sure if we talked about them, so I'm going to mention them now. Which is for like F&M type stuff, you know, like game day F&M stuff. Actually, it's all F&M. So if you win an F&M, or maybe you, I don't know if it's just you only win it, or if you like top something it. I think it's only if you won. I don't know. I have never won an F&M. I wouldn't know. We have Fortune's Favor. 3 and a blue instant target opponent looks at the top 4 cards of your library and separate them into a face-down pile and a face-up pile. Put one pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard. So, not very exciting. The only thing that's okay about it is that it's an instant blue sort of card draw spell. But it gives the opponent, you know, the trick. It gives them to the ability to put, like, the more powerful card face down and leave you with just enough good stuff on top. Or it leaves you them being a little trickster and giving you good stuff on top and 2 lands on the bottom. Or, you know, it could be 1 and 3. It doesn't matter. And, you know, it seems okay. It seems, at best, you know, it's not played. But it's a promo art, foil, obviously. Got the little, you know, shooting star wizard's little look to it. Pretty cool. And we have Incendiary Flow. It is 1 and red, sorcery. This deals 3 damage, target creature, player. If a creature dealt damage this way would die this turn, exile it instead. So it's a sorcery speed, lightning strike, but it has the exile clause on there. Servo Exhibition, 1 and a white, sorcery. Create 2/1/1 colorless servo artifact creature tokens. 2 little girls, and they're playing with little servos, and they got weird shit on their head, like... It's like a VR headset, or like a brain reading, like it reads your brain waves, and you put it on your head, and then like you can control the servos remotely. That's basically what it is. So that's it's raised the alarm, but for I would say a better creature type, because there's artifact and a creature, and it's at sorcery speed, so whoop-de-doo. Then we have 2 really good cards, like way to fucking step it up. We talked about before, like Wizards needs to fucking grab F&M and their player base by the balls and say, like, you need to come into the store and spend money and play. And so we got 2 cards. Unlicensed Disintegration. I'm sure you know what this is, but hey, why not? Let's just go ahead and read it. 1, black, red, instant. Destroy target creature if you control an artifact. This thing deals 3 damage to that creature's controller. I'd stand back if I were you. And then we have Aether Hub. Land, All-Star Land, super amazing, uncommon set from Kaladesh. Then Aether Hub enters the battlefield, you get 1 energy counter. You can tap it for a colorless, or you can tap it and pay 1 energy counter and add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. It powers the dreams of Gearupper. Yeah. But those are outstanding. I mean, it's going to be great just having either of those cards in basic foil. And now we have promo art for it. Absolutely fantastic. I am excited. I think that this stuff won't be coming until like later. I think like it's 1 per month. So I'm sure we have to get all the way into like May and June to get to the good stuff. But still, not too fucking shabby. Okay, moving on. We are moving on to weird fucking cards. Super, super strange cards throughout all of Magic, And I looked on the internet, watched some videos, just kind of compiled my own, you know, some people had some ideas like, oh, this one's weird. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, and then some other ones are like, oh, yeah, that's a fucking disaster of a card. Why was that printed? So, oh, here we go. Ah, delicious. I'm going to get another beer in a second. So we have, to start us off, Naked Singularity. What is this from? Ice Age. It's a rare. It says, well, how about this? It's a 5-mana artifact. Colorless mana, of course. Or generic mana. Mana of any type. Whatever. Spend 5. Cumulative upkeep. 3. At the beginning of your upkeep, put an age counter on this permanent. Then sacrifice it unless you pay its upkeep cost for each age counter on it. So basically, you pay 3, then you pay 6, then you pay 9, whatever, for each turn. Each of your turns. This thing reads, basically, if tapped for mana, plains produce red, islands produce green, swamps produce white, mountains produce blue, and forests produce black instead of any other type. So it's just a bumblefuck of mana. You have to like read the card every time you want to tap some mana. You're like, wait, what is this tap for? Okay. And why is this good? I don't know. I wasn't around to play this shit. I don't know any decks that play it. All I know is that it sounds like a huge pain in the ass, and I want nothing to do with it. So yeah, screw that. There's another card that does the same thing. I'm not sure if I wrote that one down, but Naked Singularity is the first one. Besides that, okay, moving on. We got, oh God, Shahrazad. It is 2 white for a sorcery. It reads, well, I'm reading the easier to read, more modern text because it is a shitstorm of fucking words on there. But it reads, basically, players play a magic subgame using their libraries as their decks. Each player who doesn't win the subgame loses half his or her life rounded up. It's from Arabian Nights. So, from what I can understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, or don't, because who cares. You play in the game, you cast this card, cool. So now, like, what's on the battlefield and what's in your hand are, like, put, like, left to the side. And then you grab your library, and then you draw 7, and then you play another game of Magic until the end. And it seems like if you can't draw 7 cards, like, you don't have enough in your library, then you lose the game because you're not doing what the game requires. And then, like, you choose randomly who goes first. And then when you're done, you get those cards, shuffle them back up, whatever's exiled, whatever's in the new game's graveyard, whatever. All those cards go back into your library like normal, but you shuffle it, and then you start playing the normal game again. What a fucking disaster. Why would a card like this be printed? Whew, I don't know. I don't know. This is a pain in the ass for sure. So I'm sure people had like a fucking, they got their kicks from it, but it sounds like some unhinged, unglued card. Which, by the way, because I'm not professional and I didn't mention it, I'm not including any of those cards in my list. Those cards would all make the list. So it's kind of boring to read off every card that I could just say, hey, why don't you go check out Unhinged and Unglued and read those cards and then laugh yourself silly and, you know, never look at them again. They're sick and I'd love to play, but they're expensive. And let's just be real here. You'd play this shit like one time. Except for Crow. Crow's going to be fucking mad that I even said that. He'd be like, how dare you? I love this set. It's my favorite thing ever. And I go, yeah, all right, fine. Okay, moving past that, we got Steam Flogger Boss. It is from Future Sight, which a lot of these cards are from Future Sight. The last one, what was from what? It was, I said, Arabian Nights. Okay, so this one's from Future Sight. And it is 3 and a red for a creature, goblin, rigger. Getting a little close there, wizards. It is a 3/3. And it says, other rigger creatures you control get +1/+0 and have haste. If a rigger you control would assemble a contraption, it assembles 2 contraptions instead. So, this is on here because there aren't these creature types. Like, I'm pretty sure that there are no riggers in Magic besides this one. And I'm pretty sure There are no contraptions in Magic. And I could be wrong on one of those, but I'm pretty sure seeing this car like a year ago, and I'd be like, yeah, this is not... This is like super future sight, because it doesn't even fucking exist. So it's like some set that's going to come out, I don't even know when, will finally have a creature type that actually matters. And I'm sure they'll do it eventually. And I remember there was like a spike in this card's value from Kaladesh coming out, because it was like inventions and invention and like contraption are damn near the same words. So this makes sense that it would be the same thing. So I remember the price spiked from like, but why? I don't even like, it's not like this is going to be some tribal thing that's going to blow everything out of the water and people are going to be like, play, it's going to be the best modern deck ever. I don't know. People are crazy with their money, but. Anyways, I thought it was kind of weird. You know, you're telling people like, hey, look what this card does. But for 10 years, it doesn't do anything. You know, that's fucking weird. So, and it was a rare. So you have to open this card up as, in your, you know, as your rare and be like, hey, I got a 3/3 for 4. Whoop-de-doo. So, I don't know. Weird shit. All right, moving past that, we got another, like, unglued weird card called Falling Star. It's 2 in a red, sorcery, flip Falling Star onto the playing area from a height of at least 1 foot. What? Falling Star deals 3 damage to each creature it lands on. Tap all creatures dealt damage by Falling Star. If Falling Star doesn't turn completely over at least once during the flip, it has no effect. It's from Legends. I mean, what the... Riggity fuck. What the hell is this shit? It's the art is like real old school, just literally has a falling star over some houses in some country. I don't even know. Some clay houses. Weird shit. Come on, guys. Come on. Like, why would you play something that's like takes a chance and you gotta like spin it and then it lands and does nothing and you're like, woohoo! I don't understand. And it says it's a rare. Ah, despicable. I don't like those effects. I mean, I like them in when the game is going to be silly, but if this is like a real card that you want to play, you know, don't be an asshole. Come on, that's ridiculous. All right, break time. Get another beer. Oh, God. Okay, and we're back. So, moving past this, we have Chaos Orb. Sort of the same thing. Or no, it's not sort of the same thing, but I mean, it's in the same realm, I think. Probably heard of this one over most of these cards. Chaos, and maybe even played it. Chaos Orb is a 2 mana cost artifact. You can pay 1, tap it. If Chaos Orb is on the battlefield, flip Chaos Orb onto the battlefield from a height of at least 1 foot. If it turns over at least 1 time during the flip, destroy all non-token permanents it touches, then destroy Chaos Orb. It's from Unlimited, and it's rare, and it's... I don't even want to talk about it. It's just a disaster of a card. All right, we got Apocalypse Chime. Oh, God. 2 mana artifact from Homelands. You can pay 2, tap it, and sack it to destroy all non-token permanents originally printed in the Homelands expansion. They can't be regenerated. It's got, like... I don't even know what that is. What is that? It's just got like a some kind of scroll with ancient writing on it. Flavor text. One day or another, perhaps I shall ring my pretty chime loudly so that all may hear. I mean, it looks like a chime. I guess it is a chime. Like it kind of looks like one singular wind chime. I don't know. And it's rare as well. I mean, is that a card? Is that like the ultimate sideboard card when you're playing in... 97 or whenever this shit came out. I mean, come on, guys. It's fucking sort of weak sauce. It's so weird that it says like, oh, was this? I mean, it's kind of like breaking the fourth wall, right? It's like, hey, was this printed in this set? It's like, do we know that stuff's printed in sets? I'm pretty sure this is just supposed to be like a game, and you're supposed to be like immersed, like Dungeons and Dragons. You know, you're supposed to be in the world. You are a planeswalker, right? I don't think planeswalkers cares about expansions. I don't know. Okay. Spell Weaver Volute? 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 Who cares? It is an enchantment for 3 and 2 blue aura. Enchant instant card in your graveyard. It's from Future Sight. And then it has some text on it, which I'll get to. And it's a rare as well. The reason I'm saying this is because it's an enchantment aura that enchants an instant card. What? And only one that's in your graveyard. Which makes more sense as far as if you cast an instant. Or like you cast this. I don't even know. I don't even know how it would work otherwise. It probably wouldn't. But that's super weird. So you are enchanting a card in your graveyard. I don't know that. I've never seen this. I was looking it up and I saw someone else talk about it and I'm like, what the hell? Who's doing this? Whenever you cast a sorcery spell, copy the enchanted instant card. You may cast the copy without paying its mana cost. If you do, exile the enchanted card and attach Spellweaver, whatever, to another instant card in your graveyard or in a graveyard. Oh, it's a graveyard. Ooh, that's even better. I probably even said that, but in my head I didn't hear that. So that's actually a lot better. This card actually might be one of the most playable of all these I'm talking about. I would say like the top of all these ones I'm going to get to, but one of the top of what I'm going to get to, but it's pretty weird to enchant something in your graveyard. It's like, I understand giving something flashback and whatever else, and that's kind of unique, but this is something else. So, and I'm wondering like, if it's in your graveyard, I guess you're allowed to like destroy target enchantment. And you're able to, like, reach past... Yeah, you can. No, you have to be able to do that. Because you're able to, like, exile stuff out of your graveyard. If you just, like, you know, cast a spell, you can definitely target your graveyard. I don't know why I didn't think it wouldn't be possible for, like, half of a second. But, yeah. Still, pretty weird. All right, here's a card that I actually play in Tiny Leaders. I gotta love that dead air. Force of Savagery. 2 and a green, elemental creature. It is with trample. Okay, elemental creature with trample. And it is an 8/0 for 3 mana. 8/0 from future sight. 8/0. Life cannot be created and then abandoned. It must be nurtured and fed so that it may express its ripened might. So this stupid thing is on the list because it has 0 toughness, and when you play it, it dies. Of course, unless you have something like Always Watching or something like that, or a creature lord type thing that gives your creatures +1/+1, okay, great. Then you have a 9/1 with trample for 3 mana. Fantastic. But you're not playing this card even if that's the case. That's just too ridiculous. It's like playing that... it's even worse than this, but it's like playing that robot wolf that got printed in Eldritch Moon or Shadows or whatever, like a 5/5 for 2 mana, but you can't attack unless you have no cards in hand. It's like, yes, I know there's a way to make this work, but let's just not make this work. How does that sound? Like, how about you just ignore this and stop trying to do the against the odds move and just, let's just go ahead and overlook this card and stop, and you can use all your time, energy, and money and put it into something else. But I did play it in a Tiny Leaders deck It all revolves around the scavenge mechanic, and scavenge is a mechanic that you can pay the mana scavenge cost, or there's a lord, you know, a legendary creature that says that all cards in your graveyard, or all creatures do, have a scavenge cost equal to their mana cost. So basically, if I had a creature on the battlefield, and my lord, my legendary creature commander out, which I don't remember his name, so but look it up. It's a black-green creature, 3 mana. What I can do is, at sorcery speed, pay 2 and a green and exile Force of Savagery from my graveyard and put 8/1/1 counters, which is its power, on target creature I control. It could be itself, the commander lord dude, or it could be another creature I control. So that was the deck. It's like, I would play like Entomb or Buried Alive, and I would look through my library and grab like that Phyrexian Dreadnought dude, or grab the what's that modern staple one? The one's a 13/13 for one, but it like your life has to be less than 13 for it to live. Oh my god, what it is? I was watching a deck played today in the modern tournament for this weekend. And I just cannot remember what it's called. Yeah. I don't know. But you guys know what I'm talking about. It's that aggro deck from Modern. It's one black, 13-13, and then it has loses, what is it? It oh my god. For every life, it gets -1/-1 for each life you have. So if you have 14 life, it's a -14/-14 starting off as a it gets -14/-14 starting off as a 13-13, so it dies. It's a -1/-1. And if you have less than 13 life, then it'll be a 1-1 or a 2-2, all the way up to a 12-12 if you have one life. So, or I guess there's some way to get it where you play that Phyrexian whatever card, and then it has, you know, it gets even bigger because you have less than 0 life or 0 life. But, what is it? Oh my god, I just had it on top of my tongue now. It's like death something. Ugh, why can't I do it? So anyways, that was the reason I played this card, and... yeah, that's why it's on the list. Moving on, Char Rumbler. 2 generic, red. Creature elemental, has double strike and fire breathing, +1/+0 for 1 red mana at any speed. But its power and toughness is -1/-3. So -1 power, 3 toughness. So it's on the list because it's from Future Sight. Hey, could you believe it? It's on the list because it has -1 toughness. Like, what the shit? You know, even like Wall of Roots should be on this list because Wall of Roots gives, it's like a 0/5 and you can like remove a -1/-0 counter from it, I think is what it is. Or is that what it is? Or maybe it's a -1/-1 counter. I don't remember. But you can make it go on its own to less than... 0 tough or power. Super weird shit. But this one comes out of the gate. This fucking elemental rock volcano beast comes out with -1 power. Super weird. But that's why the fire bring, I'm sure it's so cheap. And they probably had it as a 0/3 and were like, whoa. Yeah, this thing just gets out of hand too fast. I mean, I'm sure if you have 4 mana to cast it, the next turn when you actually attack, you have 5 mana most likely. So you'd be able to fire breathe it 5 times, so now you have a 5/3 with double strike. That might be too much. So maybe they wanted a 4/3. They're like, all right, this is the at least a little bit of balance and testing we needed to do. Besides that, we have another one, which is Spinal Parasite. It is from Fifth Dawn. It's 5 mana for a -1/-1 artifact creature insect, and it gets +1/+1 for each color of mana used to cast it. So it has Sunburst. You can remove 2/1/1 counters from it to remove a counter from another target permanent. Or actually from a target permanent. So I guess itself, if for some reason you wanted to do that. But yeah, it's a -1/-1 out of the gate for 5 mana. Yeah, if you pay 5 different colors, it's a 4/4. But you got to go Wooburg for a 4/4. And it's an uncommon. I think I'm going to pass. Another Future Sight. Man, unbelievable. Flowstone Embrace. This is 1 in a red for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. It says, enchant creature, obviously. Tap, enchanted creature gets +2/-2 until end of turn. So this is an enchantment aura that you tap. The aura, not the creature. The creature does not get this. It taps the enchantment itself, and then that gives the creature that. What a fucking weird thing. It's really weird. So that's why it's on the list. Super strange. Uncommon. From Future Sight. Okay. I think this is the one that gets the... yeah, I think I'm pretty sure this is the one that gets the award for the most... man, what the fuck did I just read? It is... Illusionary Mask from, it says Masters Edition 3. I don't know what that means. Don't need to. It's a rare, though. All right, here we go. Illusionary Mask. 2 generic mana, artifact. The card text says, try and keep up, pay X, basically. You may choose a creature card in your hand whose mana cost could be paid by some amount of or all of the mana you spent on X. If you do, you may cast that card face down as a 2/2 creature spell without paying its mana cost. If the creature that spell becomes as it resolves has not been turned face up and would assign or deal damage, be dealt damage, or become tapped, instead it's turned face up and assigns or deals damage, is dealt damage, or becomes tapped. Activate this ability only anytime you could cast a sorcery. I would love to read that again and make it sound better, like use my inflection in the correct parts as best I can to get it to, you know, make you understand it better, but it's a total lost cause and I'm not going to go through it. I'll say the card art, though, is a skull with a butthole for a mouth, so that's pretty good. All right, moving past that, we got two cards that are real unique and they are very, very rare cards that I think there's only like 100 or 200 of each of these cards ever printed because they're not from a set. They are something that was created by Richard Garfield, the creator of Magic the Gathering. And they're about his children. So we have Splendid Genesis as the first one. It's four green, so it's just green, 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 green. Sorcery. Shuffle all cards in the game together and deal them into three decks. The game continues with a new player. What? it makes sense when you know the story behind it, which is the celebration of his first child. Then this is saying that, you know, you get the parents and you push them together in Splendid Genesis and then outspits a new player and your deck, you know, your mind and everything you are turns into one, and you have to distribute some of that information and some of that what you have into this third deck. And then now you play with this new person. See? Boom. Got it. Picture is like a baby holding on to his father's hand. Or his really rugged mother's hand. Past that, we have Fraternal Exaltation, I believe. It's four blue, so same thing. Fucking island, 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 island. This one's even better, though. I like this one. So first of all, it has the art is done from Richard Garfield's mom, I believe. Which is pretty cool. It's not very good art, but I mean, like, it's cool that it was done from not a correct, you know, magic artist. And it's mom. That's pretty badass. But it says, it's a sorcery for four mana, obviously. Sneak into your parents' closet to get a deck. Your new brother is joining the game. Okay, I'm gonna read that again. That's hilarious. Sorcery for four. Sneak into your parents' closet to get a new deck. Or to get a deck. My bad, I fucked that up. Ah, sneak into your parents' closet to get a deck. Your new brother is joining the game. That is hilarious. This card is not legal in any format. that's fantastic. It's something that, you know, Richard Garfield did to commemorate his second child. And that's pretty rad. Flavor text. And when you want to go explore, the number you should have is 4. So it's a riddle, I think, by Jigsaw from Saw. Pretty sure that that's what that's from. Pretty sure he said that in the movie. Moving on, I have to say this. Going through any one of these lists, it's very obvious. Everyone's like, when are you going to get to 1996 World Champion? Yeah, so here we are now. 1996 World Champion, it's Wooburg, so it's 5 mana, 1 of each color. It's a legendary creature. The art has a dude wearing a wizard's jacket, Magic the Gathering jacket, like it's totally not from a set, you know. It's, I don't even know actually where it came from. I do know that it was given, I think, as like a, not a, I don't know if it was a one of or like very, very small quantity. I'm not really sure the whole story behind it. I actually have no idea. But it reads, cannot be the target of spells or effects. World Champion has power and toughness equal to the life total of target opponent. So it's like, hey, perfect number. You can pay 0, discard your hand to search your library for 1996 World Champion and reveal it to all players. Shuffle your library and put 1996 World Champion on top of it. Use this ability only at the beginning of your upkeep, and only if 1996 World Champion is in your library. Well, surprise, surprise, I hope you wouldn't be paying zero on your upkeep to search your library for whatever. But I guess if it didn't say that, I guess technically, even if it's legal in your format somehow, you'd be able to be like, okay, on my upkeep, I'm going to search for it. I'm going to shuffle my deck because I know it's on top of my library, and now I fail to find, and now, boom, I shuffle my library every turn forever. So maybe if that's what the ruling, if that's what Magic ruling would dictate, then that text is necessary. It says, it takes great sacrifice to make it to the top. So I'm pretty sure this is literally just after the World Champion was made for this, and nothing else, but I think it's a cool card. I think it's probably one of the most known unique cards that isn't from a set. I have to figure it's got the number one. I don't know though. But yeah, there it is. Pretty strange. Then the toughness, of course, is like the star. It says it in the text that like it's equal to the opponent's life total. So yeah. Moving on. One mana artifact. Liar's Pendulum. Pendulum. Pay two and tap. Name a card. Target opponent guesses whether a card with that name is in your hand. You may reveal your hand. If you do and your opponent guessed wrong, draw a card. It's from Mirrodin. That's weird. It's weird. I feel like it's almost playable. Or, you know, because once again, I haven't played this card. I don't have the knowledge of other players. You know, some people listening, well, probably not listening to this cast, because if you've been playing for 15 years and you're really knowledgeable, why are you listening to a bunch of dumbasses talk nonsense? But hey, whatever floats your boat. So this, you know, name a card. And you're kind of doing the bluff. I'm going to say Thoughtseize. And your opponent's going to go, yeah, I'm going to say that that is in your hand, and then you reveal it, and it's not, and then you get to draw a card. Or you reveal it, and then it is, and you don't get to draw a card. So you spent two mana, and plus the one mana for this artifact, and your opponent now knows your hand and nothing else. So it's kind of an absurd way to draw a card, because you still have to, like, expose your hand each time, which sucks. And if you, you know, and that would give them a lot of information because you're going, say you have like six cards in your hand, that's a lot of cards and a lot of information for them to have to know exactly what's going on. And that sucks. But if you only have one or two cards, then you're like, haha, there's not so much information you can get from me because I don't have as much available, you know, stuff. But then it's like, yeah, but now I know that you only have like, my guesses are easier, first of all. And second of all, now I know that you only have one way out or something like that. So both ways are terrible. That if you got a lot of cards in hand, why the hell would you want them to know all of them? And second of all, if you have no cards in hand or very little, why would you want them to know that the one card you have is not a way out from winning the game or something like that? So it's a rare from Mirrodin. If I didn't say already, which I don't know if I did, and I'm in like a beer and a half and 12%, so you guys can all, you know, take it what you will. All right, we're getting to the last two on my list. Now we're getting into a common, and this deserves its own rarity type of like sub-common or just like bum. It needs to be bum rarity. Scornful Egotist. It is seven generic mana in blue, so 8 converted mana cost for a creature human wizard. You guys ready for this? Human wizard for 8 mana. God, this thing's got to be good. I mean, even at common level, like it's got to be like a 4/4 with hexproof and looting or something. Like it's got to be just enough to be playable somewhere. But no, it is a 1/1 for 8 mana. Okay, Jace, Mr. Hot Sauce. The flavor, the text, the card text has to be something that makes up for one toughness and one power. Got to. I guess it does. Because you can pay 3 mana along the way to that 8 mana cost and cast it face down as a 2/2 creature. Because it's a morph. It's morph for one and a blue. So you can, in the ideal situation, is pay three colorless, three generic, put it face down as a 2-2, and then you could do a surprise your opponent for one single blue mana and flip it, not using the stack, into a 1-1 creature that is now a wizard and has blue identity. I don't know. I don't get it. I'll never get it. I don't know what this fits. I don't know anything about this card. I don't have anything to say about it. It's from some Scourge. Yeah. It just sounds like the worst thing ever. And I just don't know what to think about it. Like, is like because it's a wizard it's good? Or can be good? Or like is just because it's like a free to 2-2 for 3 and that's like good enough? I don't know. It just sounds like a bunch of shit. And the last one, which is probably the least exciting, which probably shouldn't end on it, right? But whatever, so be it, is Wake the Reflections. It's a card from Dragon's Maze, a common, and it's one white, and it's sorcery for one white, and it's unique for one simple reason, and that it has one word for the text, and it just says populate, and that's it. Populate is like, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of a creature token you control. So you have, like, you know, in the Return to Ravnica block, they had a lot of tokens, especially in Dragon's Maze. But that's pretty much it. Populate was a mechanic originated in Dragon's Maze, and so when you want to make a token, you can just go and populate and copy a token, put it on there. And you can't copy another permanent. You know, you can't copy a non-token permanent. So, yeah. That's it. It's just the simplest thing. It's not even just like pay one blue, draw a card, because that's three words. That's like way too many words. This one is just pay one, populate. Boom. Done. The end. This thing's like $40. No, it's not. It's like you can't even, people are like going to pay you to take it out. So, but yeah, that's all the cards I wanted to talk about. Looking through all kinds of lists and bullshit online, so I mean, what are we at right now? We are at hour or so. I think I'm gonna wrap it up. It's a one man cast, and I'm Zubying this shit. I'm not gonna have it all. I'm not gonna have all the information. And are you even laughing right now? I don't know. What am I saying that's funny? I don't know. It's really nice to have the other guys with me, and I love doing this podcast with those fellas. I just wanted to experiment and see if I could have the chops to do it by myself, keep someone entertained without getting too much hate. Well, actually, the hate is totally deserved. If you don't like it, that's fine. But yeah, so follow the cast I was talking about earlier. Cool Games Inc. and Hype Club. Maybe listen to First Strike and Zuby, Mr. Zuby. Single. He's a one man cast. And he's definitely not as gratuitous as this cast. He's not as, you know, ridiculous, rambunctious, just a total, you know, asshole like we are. But not too bad. He really supports the cast, and we love him for that especially. So he's a really solid guy. And yeah, but anyways, he is Magic with Zuby at MTG Cast. I'm sure he has his own thing going on. You go to his website, type it in Google. You got it. Besides that, I haven't really been listening to anything else I can recommend. I know that Knife was mentioning the tryhards are good, and of course stuff like Money Draft and Brainstorm Brewery, duh. So there's something to listen to. And besides that, we got, you know, our website, iflanscouldkill.com. Find us at iflanscouldkill on Twitter. Minus one L on the kill because I'm an idiot. Facebook, I would say go ahead and follow us on Facebook, but nobody goes there, including me, which I'm the one that takes care of social media, so kind of waste your time, but why not? Follow us there if you'd like. Otherwise, we have our YouTube channel, which has not been updated in a long time, but we're always working to, you know, get the energy, get the inspiration to go on and do some deck techs. But anyone out there listening, please send us a message. You know, send us a tweet. Go to our website and go to iflamscouldkill@gmail.com. Send us a message saying, like, hey, I want to see you guys play Frontier. Hey, I want to see you guys play Tiny Leaders or Commander. I want to see some deck techs. I want more of the podcast. Maybe I enjoy this single-man cast. Maybe I want more, you know, you could even do like a sort of like the blog thing that YouTube does, you know, where it's just kind of like a guy talking to you in a camera. Like, as long as someone wants it, am I going to say I'm not willing to do it? Like, whatever, man. Fine. No big deal. So, I'm just saying that, you know, someone reach out to us and tell us what you guys are interested in, and maybe we'll consider it. But other than that, I think this wraps it up for episode 102 or 101.5 KGB FM. I don't know. We'll have to talk to the cast and see what they want to do. Because 102 is a one-man cast. I don't know if that really represents If Lands Could Kill as a whole. Probably doesn't, but we'll see. And we will see later. Take it easy, guys.